on 97.5 and 102.5 FM, DAB and online at pulse1.co.uk. It's all about rugby. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Kia ora and g'day rugby league fans. Welcome to the RHP Show. We've got the General Robinson in the house.
Yeah, good evening, Rob.
And with him, we've got Aaron the Power Bower.
Good evening, Rob.
You guys all right?
Yeah, good.
All good. No Leon tonight. He's a bit poorly. I think he got a cold from the weekend because at the Providence Stadium last Sunday was absolutely terrible conditions. But this weekend's going to be different. We're giving away a family ticket to the Bulls home match up at the Providence Stadium. They're taking on local rivals Dewsbury. If you want to get a hold of those tickets, just contact us at pulse1.co.uk/RHP show and we'll pick a winner at random on Friday afternoon. Also, later on in the show tonight, we're going to be picking someone who won Luke Robinson's tickets also to his final testimonial event, where last week was the Luke Robinson testimonial show. It's not been that. It's coming back to the RHP show this week. So there's load to cover this evening, including the weekend's upcoming matches. So let's get it on.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show. News and views.
Evening, Robbo. Evening, Aaron.
Good evening.
Good to have you here, Aaron. Once again, we introduced you to the show three weeks ago?
Yeah, 3 weeks ago.
So just let all the listeners out there know, just give them a little bit of brief description of what your rugby league background is.
It sounds a bit like blind date, won't it? You know, a little bit like, good evening, everybody, good evening.
I can't do a silly accent.
Just a local journalist, worked for The Guardian, loved rugby league all my life, grew up in Bradford, local lad. Yeah, that's it. There's not a lot to
Single
say, really, Rob.
Or not?
No, spoken for, Robbo.
Spoken for. Oh, did you hear all those cries?
Yeah. Robbo sounded disappointed. I don't know why.
As he winks at him. It's always awesome to have you here. It's great to hear from the journalistic perspective of what's going on. Obviously, we're all fans. None of us stop being fans because we're rugby players, ex-rugby players, or journalists. So we're always going to have that insight. But also, it's your job to dig up all the dirt. So, but you're media trained, so you're not going to get yourself into trouble. But you're more than welcome to.
Just don't get the radio station
into trouble.
All right.
That's all I've been told. You can get yourself into trouble, more than welcome to, but just not the station, as producer Ewan agrees with me right there and then. Robbo.
Yes.
Finally, a performance against Wigan. I mean, it wasn't pretty. It was a draw in the end. The conditions were absolutely horrible, as it seemed to be. But look, a draw is better than a loss, isn't it? Especially against Wigan. Wigan been flying. Is it a draw better than a loss?
Obviously, a draw is better than a loss. But when you are in a really comfortable position, you have dominated the majority of the game. They had two significant injuries, really, Wells and Sean O'Loughlin, in the first 10 minutes. They had a winger on the bench. I'm not going to lie, we just create more opportunities than them. They were there for the taking. We had them, unfortunately, Bruffy hit the post straight, well, literally a penalty straight in front, about 10 metres out.
That is not Bruffy.
No, it's not Bruffy at all. He's got, when you look at his percentage of his kicks over his career, he'll be a 75% plus man. I think he's actually gone into the all-time top.
Yeah, he's eighth.
Percentages.
He's eighth now.
On the all-time points.
He's the eighth all-time point scorer in history.
He's gone above Lewis Jones. Yeah.
In history. We're not just talking Super League.
In history.
In history, he's gone into the top eight. Yeah. So he can kick goals. Yes. He can score tries. But unfortunately for us, just managed to hit the post. But that one was only issue. We just didn't seem to convert, and we got a man Simbin with 10 minutes to go, which really put us under the rat, really. The last 12 minutes, I think it was 12 minutes to go, and he got Simbin. So for the last 10 minutes, we were pretty much, we're just hanging on in there after the majority of the game basically dominating.
So does that feel bitter? Because obviously you're travelling to Wigan. Wigan have been flying.
It's a really strange situation because obviously I played at Wigan, and I've played against them, and I know how hard it is to win at Wigan. Mm-hmm. I know how hard it is to get a point.
World Club champions.
Oh, yeah, and they've got incredible talent. But when you come away, you could just feel it in the dressing room. Normally, 9 times out of 10, you'd walk in that dressing room and go, it's not a bad result, we've got a point at Wigan away, World Club champions. We were all literally a bit of a...
That's a point lost, not a point gained.
Yes, sombre atmosphere. Everyone's literally looking at the floor. Everybody knew in the hearts that we'd just basically blown a point.
All right, well, this brings into focus then that argument about bringing those draws, games that are a draw, having a look at potentially having the golden point. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm not going to lie. I'm probably a bit of a traditionalist. I like the point system. A draw. Sometimes in sport, it's an even reflection of the game. The other one for me is, I think we
are. It creates drama, though.
Yeah, but the big thing for me is, I think we already play too many games in this country anyway. We're always fatigued by the end of the year when it comes around the international games. So imagine if there's another 10 draws in that year and you're playing for an extra 30 minutes. Is how long can you actually go for in Golden Point?
In the NRL, it's 10, isn't it?
10
you
minutes.
You go five either way.
Yeah.
And then it's a draw.
And I suppose that's not too long. I don't know. Sometimes a draw is just a nice, a good
like
reflection
of the game. I like a draw. I like that two teams can be evenly matched. And draws are dramatic anyway. I mean, in football, if you get a 1-1 draw, it can be quite stale and quite boring. But in rugby, if it's a draw late on, everyone's going to be going for a drop goal. Everyone's going to be trying to do something out of the ordinary. So I quite like it.
To be honest, Aaron, I'm quite surprised you're saying that because I know there's an energy and interest level that steps up when you go to their golden point. So looking at the NRL, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, North Queensland Cowboys against Brisbane, the Broncos. Yeah. I mean, replay of the year before, the exact same thing happened. Jonathan Thurston steps up again, nails it. Those big games, big game players, the drama it creates, that dropkick then travels around the world via social media. If it's just a draw, we're not talking about it.
Yeah, we were
talking about it, and it actually made me watch that game, which was a fantastic game. So it brought my eyes, it brought my attention to that specific outcome.
I don't understand what you're saying, you know, but imagine, look, the drama that unfolds with it, and it's electric, really, knowing who's going to get that first point. But sometimes I just think a draw is a true reflection of the game, do you know what I mean? And I don't know, I'm a bit of a traditionalist, really, I think.
So am I. Sometimes Golden Point can feel a little bit manufactured, I think, as well. Like you're trying to force drama on people. I mean, if two teams are evenly matched, then I think that's fine. Football's got away with it for, 130 years, something like that. I mean, we don't try and copy other sports too much, but what's wrong with it? A draw?
I don't know, because football, look how long they took to get the video replay. You know, it's still an argument. I don't think they're a good example of how we should shape our sport.
But for all the golden point games you have in
just
the NRL...
Just because I have this thing about football, you see.
You might have 15 golden point games in the NRL every year, but you probably won't remember much of them, will you? I mean, the big ones, like the grand final that was split on golden point and things like that, you'll always remember, but some of them, I don't think so. I think a draw's just as fair as someone winning or losing in extra time, personally.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. I personally like the drama that's created by golden point. I think from a sporting point of view, it gives us something to chat about, something to talk about. And look, we're talking about it now. I do get the other side of it as well, because as a player, after giving you all for 80 minutes and a little skinny halfback to go down the other end and just drop kick the goal, it's sort of like, that's not the essence of the sport. The essence of the sport is scoring tries and bashing one another.
But everyone remembers, I guess to play devil's advocate, everyone remembers a £1 million game, don't they?
Oh,
which went to Golden Point. You know.
And that, yes. I mean, that is probably, there's a double edge to that conversation as well, because that skinny little fullback did the drop kick, an amazing, phenomenal kick. It really was. Yeah. Into the wind, because if you've played at Holcar before, you know that field. It's straight into the teeth of it. And it cleared the post by about 30 metres. He kicked it just inside the halfway.
With the pressure as well. Yeah.
With the pressure. I mean, to be honest, no, that's a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
That's a hidden hope. It's
like, I don't
what
know,
am I got to
mate.
Lose?
No, I like watching O'Brien.
I don't think there's pressure there.
O'Brien is one of my favourite players to watch outside of his field. I really love the way he plays the game.
Yeah.
And his skill set.
For a little bloke.
Yeah.
I'm worried that he's going to get snapped in half every time he carries the ball. But he doesn't. He bounces straight back up.
He won it again for them on Sunday as well against Castleford. He kicked the drop goal against Castleford. So he's the man, isn't he, that they need in those big situations. And really, do we have an abundance of those players that when the pressure's on, and you're there, you've got to deliver in that split second. He seems to do it more often than not. I agree with Robbo. I think he's a great player.
Yeah. In my career, I tried to do one drop kick. One.
How did
and it was against Wigan. I'm not sure whether or not you were playing, Robbo. I'm not sure. I think you might have been at Salford at that point. But it was the week before Challenge Cup final. I was playing for Huddersfield. And we had rested Brad Drew and Chris Thorne, and we had rested a lot of our players.
Why was you being rested?
I don't know. The old fella on. I got the chance to captain the team that day. Yeah, leave Robbie in. You know, like an old tyre. He'll just keep on going. And anyway, we got into the situation where we were like, I think it was 12 points apiece. Get down there, and it was Robbie's chance to step up.
Adrenaline.
Oh, I completely scuffed it. It was hopeless. It was absolutely useless. All right, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to cover all the sports' hottest topics. So stick with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1. Super League.
Championship.
NRL.
Challenge Cup. Whatever the story, we've got it covered.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
All right, welcome back with Luke Robinson, Aaron Bauer and me, Robbie Hunter Paul. We're giving away a family ticket to the Bulls home match this weekend against local rivals Dewsbury up at the Providence Stadium, 3 p.m. kickoff. I think the gates open at 2 p.m. If you want to find out how you can pick up those tickets, just leave your details at pulse1.co.uk/RHP show and we'll pick a name at random 12 o'clock on Friday afternoon. All right, clocks go forward this weekend.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
That means we lose an hour. I'm a bit disappointed with that. My wife's going to be disappointed.
Oh, mate, I were up at 3, 4 and 5 this morning, so it makes no odds to my life whatsoever.
Why is that?
Because I don't know. He's just getting up at that time and then just saying, where's my daughter, daddy? And I'll go, I'm not sure, and I'll go into bed, and he'll go, here it is, and it's in his hand. He's just playing games with me, mate.
No, I'm with you, because I was, our little fella comes into the room every night, so about 2 o'clock comes in, wakes us up, and then he decides to put his head into his mum and his toenails into my ribs, and it absolutely kills me. And then he wiggles them. He likes to wiggle them just to make sure they get in and take a bit of skin off. And
make sure you know, they know you're there.
Yeah. He's got to go back to his room, man. I'm going to have a word to his mum tonight.
I know I'm going about sleep, but I'll fill you in what happened to me this week. So I've got a door that is like a hotel door. You can only get in using a key. Now, my kid's got a bit of a habit of slamming the door behind me at the moment and laughing. He did it. I realised I didn't have any keys on me, so I was locked outside the house.
You told us this last week.
Oh, did I? Yeah. I'm losing my marbles then.
Nah, but what was better, you actually put a picture of it on social media.
Yes, I did.
It was either you or your wife.
Yeah, that's
what. And actually, it's got your which son was it?
My baby, the 2-year-old outsmarted me.
Well, what's his name?
Keane.
So Keane's looking through the window with the cheekiest grin. I saw it that night. So you shared it last week. I was seeing it last night. I was just thinking, that is so funny.
So it makes no odds for us. Anyone's a parent this moment in time. Doesn't matter, does it? You know, back in day when you're a young kid, when you're 18, 19, that hour is massive in your life. That hour seems like, oh, it's an eternity. Whereas when you have kids, it just don't matter anymore, does it? They could put clocks back forward 4 hours. You wouldn't know. No. You wouldn't know, would you?
No. You're just tired anyway.
You're just tired.
Look at Aaron sitting over there, father. You know, he's childless. Look at me, Robbo, Ewan, producer Ewan here. We're looking at him. Oh, little does he know. And Jakey's only 15 anyway, so Jakey... He's going to get there. He's 17. I'm 17.
He's still doing it to his mum.
3 o'clock. Mum, where's me dodie? All right, rugby league. Michael Carter, Wakefield have said no to the Big Fella Stadium, the offer from Featherstone to go and play all their Super League matches there. Obviously, last week it was announced that Michael Carter and Wakefield Trinity had handed their notice to Wakefield Council. Now, I'm looking at Aaron while I'm talking, because this is obviously your bread and butter. What's going on in the political world of the sport? So give us an update, mate.
Yeah, as you say, obviously Wakefield a fortnight ago said, look, Wakefield's, our Bellevue ground isn't fit for purpose anymore. They've been trying for years to get somewhere set up in the city somewhere. I mean, if you put it into context, Wakefield hasn't got anything sporting-wise except Wakefield Trinity, so I'm surprised the council aren't really falling over themselves.
But in saying that, you've got Castleford, who have been already been greenlit, yeah, and they're part of the Wakefield metropolitan area.
Thing, yeah.
So they've already got a stadium. Can a city of Wakefield that has a population of, I think I had circa 325,000 people, you know, can it justify two stadiums? Can it?
I think so. When both are in the top tier, two top tiers, I mean, what, Huddersfield and Halifax both have stadiums. I know it's not technically the same, but they're very close.
Huddersfield, ground share with the football team. So the stadium's been used 365 days of the year. Halifax do the same thing at the Shea, 365 days of the year. Whereas both, as you mentioned, there's not another major team in the competition. So there's a good circa 5 months where the stadium's unused. Pitch is going to be unused. So, I mean, that is something that the council would have to review.
Same with Cass, though. And Cass haven't got anything else in Castleford, but they've got a stadium. I think what they want to do is, as you probably know, Huddersfield, you have weddings, you have christenings, you have functions all the time, and you make money out of it, you know, and jobs for the area and things like that.
But a lot of the times what stadiums will do, they'll outsource that to a third-party company. So they'll get some income as they buy the contract and serving rights, so to speak, to run the conferencing and banqueting facilities in the stadium.
Yeah.
But because councils, that's not what they do for a living, they don't quite know how to run that to make it a very profitable business. So they outsource it.
Just for me, have Castleford been granted this new stadium then?
They have.
Yes.
Yeah. And when, is that set in stone? Definitely.
Nothing set in stone until it's built.
This is what I'm saying, because the amount of times that people have come out previous and said they're going to have this new stadium, this is what they're going to do.
They've broken ground on it. There are forks in the ground.
So it's going to go forward?
Yeah.
No one's
quite sure when. I think.
Right. But it's in and around Escape, isn't it? So it's part of the retail, it's part of the full retail footprint.
Five Towns Park, they're calling it. It's over that way near Escape.
And the argument there is you've got the A1 that intersects M62.
Yeah.
So you've got a lifeline, a vital lifeline logistics for people to come and utilise that facility. Whereas the counter argument from Wakefield's point of view is, where do you put it?
Wakefield think, or certainly some people at Wakefield, hide up somewhere near the M1. Obviously, it runs right along the side of Wakefield, doesn't it? And it's close to Leeds and everything like that. I think they looked at somewhere there. They were looking on the outskirts of the city. There's retail parks popping up all over the edge of the city, and I think that's what just makes them even more surprised that, you know, we're the only
brand. So from the media's point of view, Wakefield have, before, made this threat. Say, well, we've handed in our notice. They did that last year.
Yeah.
Is this a real threat?
Do you
think it is a real threat?
Yeah, I think it is. I know they've already spoken to different parties, different clubs, different councils about moving. They're deadly serious. They're just fed up. They've been promised something that they haven't got for years and years and years, and they've not got it.
And that is one of the longest, oldest standing rugby league brands that we have.
Yeah, they played rugby league there since the very start, haven't they? Since 1895, Wakefield.
Surely Michael Carter, he's a smart man, isn't he? Surely he's got a little bit of contingency plan if that stadium wasn't going to be rebuilt. Surely he's got something in the pipeline. Or hasn't he? Is this not a smokescreen and he's got something tucked away? Or is it literally just last chance saloon? He didn't know what else to do.
I think he's banged his head against the council's door so many times and they're just not giving him anything. So I think he's trying to say, look, we'll take our team somewhere else if you don't want to have us. I guess it ties in with that story the other week about teams going to Newcastle and Bristol and everything. And if the,
I mean, it's, yeah, are we tiptoeing? If you're saying what is the options, are we tiptoeing into the world of this is the potential license, Super League license opportunity for another city? I mean, be under no illusion, Michael Carter is a massive Wakefield fan.
Yeah,
you know, he's a Wakefield man, and it would break his heart to move away from the city. But look, needs must. For these older stadiums, they view it as it's like turning on a tap, pulling out the plug, and just when you're investing money into them, it's just pouring money down the drain. And no matter how much they try to spend money on to upgrade the facilities and grow the sport and grow their club, you know, we're now competing with cinemas. You know, we're air conditioned. In the summer, it's nice and cool. And, you know, you take your family there and you get entertainment. In an old stadium, if you're a brand new family, what are you going to do? And that's what you have to, you know, that's what you have to consider.
I ain't going to lie. When you got away for that, I did a little bit of punditry there last year. You still pee against the wall, don't you, in the blokes' toilets?
Yeah.
You are, there's a trough, and you're basically against the wall, which in the modern day era is not acceptable. You know what I mean? We're not going to be getting new fans in and new young fans and going, look at this amazing brand on the field, but it needs to be the whole package.
That's right. And to upgrade those facilities, so if you're doing an upgrade on all the toilets, the public toilets in the stadium, you're probably looking at circa £100,000 to £150,000 in investment, products, etc. And Wakefield are in that position in the table where actually it's more important for them to survive. So that £150,000 spent on players to keep them in that that upper echelons of the game.
And it's like you say, that black hole, isn't it, of just throwing money at it for money's sake. And I think they'd be much better off if they could get somewhere. New Warrington are probably the club you look at, aren't they? I know they're backed by a very wealthy
Lee
businessman.
Centurions.
Lee as well, look at the next level. Sort of Lee have gone to as a club off the field. Since moving in that new ground, Warrington get excess of 10,000 watching them every week. You know, I'm not sure they got quite that just before they left Wilderspool, but it's that shiny new stadium feel that just gives everyone a little bit of a lift, doesn't it, I think?
All right, I think this isn't the last time we're going to hear about this subject, but we're going to take a break now. When we come back, we'll be covering more of the sports hot topics, so stick with us right here on the RHP Show.
This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show on Pulse 1. The latest news and the opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show on Pulse 1.
Welcome back to the RHP Show. All right, we're giving away a family pass to the Bradford Bulls home match against Dewsbury this weekend up at the Providence Stadium. Just to win, just send your details to pulse1.co.uk/RHP Show and we'll pick a name at random on Friday afternoon, let you know if you've won or not. We'll have your details. All right, we're also going to be announcing who picked up Robbo's two tickets to his final testimonial. We'll do that in the final segment, Robbo. You can throw a dart and pick a name at random. All right, without Leon being here, this would have been a perfect thing. His eyes would have popped out. Jason Tomalolo, 10-year deal for $10 million Australian dollars. What about that? $10 million bucks.
Wow.
By the time that 10 years is up, though, that last million will only be worth about $100,000.
Oh, someone else will be earning even more.
I'll take it.
The first thing I thought is, what happens if he snaps his leg and gets a payout?
Now, I'm sure.
Surely something there that says
I'm sure there's
can't.
A clause about, you know, if you become incapacitated or something like that. But there's probably got a clause in there for both sides as well.
Yep.
So you get a golden parachute and a golden high five and walk off. But to be honest, he's that good. He is good. He's a freak. He is a freak of nature. But now we're starting to enter into the world of, you know, American sports. That's sort of the football world when we're starting to talk those sort of figures. And isn't it interesting?
What's really interesting from everybody else's perspective is they think he's actually going to lose money in that tenure because as you said then, he's that good that they think with the salary cap going to increase in the NRL, that actually his worth will be more and he could have got more. But obviously, from his perspective, he's just looking at it as, oh, this is going to set not only my own life up, but my kids' life, my family's life, and everybody else. It's just that security.
Oh, man. I know what Kiwis are like. They have all the cuzzy bros coming out of the woodwork. That $10 million is going to be spent in the first year. Look after yourself, Jason. I think it's great. It's pushing the game in a certain direction as well. So
it's pushing a certain part of the game in a different direction. That's the problem for us. The problem for us is all this is great from a world perspective, as in the NRL are now starting to sort of jump into the realms of football and American football, and we're actually starting to challenge the other sports and get a little bit of media interest around it. The bad thing is for Super League, I think we're just getting left.
I don't. I disagree, and that's because of the conversation we've been having over the last 3 weeks. What's just been put into the public sphere, and that's been led by Roger Draper, and it's that the idea of being able to sell your license, and that's all tied into being able to bring bigger players, cities, people with big city money to the table, and that just blows the game wide open. It becomes a completely different model to look at. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
This is a tipping, like a pivotal sort of 12-month for me, for the sport, because Super League's probably more even than it's ever been. Mm-hmm. Cass have destroyed everyone in the opening month, but then they go to Salford and get beaten. And Salford were within a kick of getting relegated last season. So it's really even. But that's because everyone is spending to cap, barring one or two clubs. Now, there's three or four clubs who I wouldn't name that want the cap to go up because they could spend maybe £500,000 more, maybe £600,000 more. So do you...
Name him.
Oh, don't be that guy, Aaron.
No.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I think they are the ones you'd expect. They are the big guns. They are the ones that stand there and you know, get ongoing success.
Shall I try and guess them?
Go on, then.
Wigan.
And this is a guess.
Yeah, this is a guess. Wigan, Warrington. I don't think Leeds like to spend a lot. I don't know if Gary
Edington.
No,
I'm the same. Yeah, I think Gary Edington does ahead of, like. You know?
So you've got Wigan, Warrington, maybe Cool Cash. With the cash, no. About Lee.
Just to be clear, I'm not shaking.
Do I get a thumbs up? What about Lee?
Just to be clear, Robbo is just pulling names out of the
Lee. I know Wigan and Warrington are definitely two of them. Definitely.
But if
we can't say definitely because you're not in their boardroom, are they? Are you?
I know.
But it's an educated guess because they've been front runners for a long time talking about the growth of the sport.
If, for example, they raise the cap by £1 million next year, and four clubs spent that extra million, you would then have four clubs who are obviously better than the rest, and you would have a chasm in Super League. Now,
would you want that? I think you're going back to the Wigan days in the 90s, aren't
it's
you?
It's a danger.
Where they just basically they can start buying rugby union players, and you can start bringing more NRL players, and I just think the likes of Wakefield and probably the likes of Huddersfield and everyone else are struggling to compete.
If you raise the salary cap by £1 million, you're still going to be less than the England Rugby Union salary cap, the NRL salary cap, the South of France salary cap, where's all the talents going? So you're still going to be behind the cue ball. And there's an argument, there's a counter argument to say that actually, if you keep it at a lower thing, everything bows down to the lowest common denominator. Whereas if you open it up, people's aspirations start going up. Better players come in, develops better players in the competition.
But I think you've got to ask yourself, if you raise the cap and some clubs spent more, would signing, for example, George Ford, Kyle Eastman, would bringing those guys into the game boost our sports profile in this country, do you think?
I think so.
So then it's probably a good idea to raise the cap and let the clubs do it.
I think so. Having superstars, marquee players, players that people want to come and see, players that have X factor about them, entertainers, because there's an argument that the player drain, the Burgess boys, and all that talent that's been sucked out of the Super League is obviously not on show here.
But then, like Robbo says, some clubs just naturally will get left behind, won't they? So it's a difficult decision for the sport to make. Do you look after all your clubs, or do you support the ones who want to take it to the next level? I don't know. It's tough.
It's really strange for me because I've gone from a player where 18 months ago I'd have been like, raise the cap, raise the cap.
Give me more money.
And now I'm a coach of it, like, I'm not so sure about that.
Because we're even.
Everyone on the
All things change, yeah.
We're competing where we are. We don't want what's left in the pot.
Could have been the next
but
time.
But if you've got a big giant pot, you're going to yourself, raise the cap.
Yeah.
If you've got a bottomless pot, then you raise the cap. I think at the moment they're looking at developing the salary cap. It's one of the areas that Roger Draper's leading on. And he also did confirm that there's interest from cities looking to purchase Super League licences. He said that there are actual, say cities, but actually they've got to be individuals within the cities, not the metropolitan councils themselves.
No.
We're looking at it, probably Wasps is the greatest example of how they've taken an inner London team, taken it away from their heartland and been very successful by developing it in
Coventry.
Yeah. And to be honest, those of us that went down to the internationals earlier this year? Late last year. What a fantastic setup they've got there. Yeah. Absolutely brilliant. Freezing cold night, but absolutely brilliant. Just on that, which we just mentioned him as well, Kyle Eastman. There's a link with Kyle Eastman and Wigan.
Seamless link there, Rob.
Seamless link.
Yeah, great.
What are your thoughts on actually just getting that sort of talent back into, I mean, let's be honest, he's a rugby league man. Jason Robinson, rugby league man. Yeah. You know, they say there's a good argument. They'll say, rugby union supporters will say, rugby union made Jason Robinson, and rugby league will say, yeah, well, we built him.
Listen, Jason Robinson's rugby league, you know. Whatever they say, Jason Robinson's rugby league. One of my heroes, really, growing up.
Yeah. I was with Jason yesterday, actually.
Oh, was you?
Yeah.
Oh, pick up that name.
What about that? I just pick it up. These are circles I roll in, Robbo. Oh. And his nickname's Robbo as well.
Yeah, did you? No, I'm the original. No, look, I'm with you, Rob. The more profile names that we can get in, and up by profile, I don't mean the ones in the rugby league world, the ones in the national newspapers, the Kyle Eastmans and all that. Yeah. You know, them players, if we can get them back in our game, I think it'll only boost the actual sport.
But we're talking about, you know, strengthening the already strong clubs, you know, as again, another seamless link going to a club like Wigan.
But you can imagine watching Sky Sports News or any sort of news or newspaper broadcast, and it says, you know, Wigan have signed Owen Farrell, or Wigan have signed George Ford. Like, you're like, wow, this changes the whole dynamic of the sport and the whole perception. Because for 15 years, maybe, since rugby union went professional, maybe 20 years ago, it's been them taking our players. If we could find a way to say, well, actually, we can get some of these guys back in, it halts the drain and it changes that rugby league's maybe not the little brother and the weaker brother.
And equally, it then starts the young, talented youth players that we've got going around in the game. I mean, look at Leon. Leon's son, William, is a hugely talented young man. And rugby union are fishing around him. You know, rugby union schools, et cetera, are fishing around him because they identify talent. If we can make rugby league, once again, the sexy sport to come to, especially in the north of England, well, then we can start pulling that talent back into our youth development systems. And Robbo, no one knows that more than yourself. The bigger talent pool that you can have access to, the better it's going to be for you, isn't it?
Yeah, do you know what? I've had a bit of a meeting with the CEO of Huddersfield today, just regarding that, really. You know, how do we get more players into the sport in general in Huddersfield, but how do we get them into our club and get them into our structures at an earlier age? And it's a bit of a conundrum, really. It's a difficult one.
We have to make rugby league popular, like pop culture.
Yes.
You know, football, pop culture. You know, the Jason Robinsons, the Johnny Wilkinsons of this world, pop culture. Again, they are superstars. We used to have that.
Yeah.
The Martin O'Fires, the Sean Edwards, the Ellery Hanleys, you know, these are the last guys that represented rugby league on these reality TV programs. I'm not saying that's a measuring stick, but
they're still
the same guys that actually get invited back to those shows. All right. We're going to go to a break. We'll come back with the final segment of the show. We'll be reading out Robbo's winner for his testimonial dinner. And we'll also be looking forward to the upcoming games of this week. And stick with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Thanks for being back. This is the final segment of the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. Thanks for being with us. We're with Aaron Bauer and Luke Robinson. We're giving away a family pass to the Bradford Bulls home match against Dewsbury up at the Providence Stadium this weekend. 3 o'clock kickoff. Doors open at 2 p.m. To win those tickets, just get a hold of us on pulse1.co.uk/RHP show. Leave your details and we'll pick someone at random on, say, Friday lunchtime. Robbo, we'll get Robbo's final testimonial dinner's coming up on the 7th, is it?
8th
of April?
Yes.
8th of April. Saturday the 8th of April at
Cedar Court,
Ainley Top, Junction 24.
Yes, it is.
We've got two tickets to give away. Robbo's picked a name during the break. Robbo, who have you got?
Yeah,
Wait a minute. Drum rolls, please, everyone. And a ding.
I have gone for Louise Walton of Brighouse.
Congratulations, Louise. We'll get a hold of you, let you know how you can pick up those tickets and enjoy that what will be a fantastic night in a couple of weeks' time. Still haven't got my invitation yet, Robert, but it's okay. Pardon?
Are we going?
Yeah, none of us have been given an invitation.
I'll think about it. You know, if you want to come, you can come, actually.
Look at that.
There you go.
I'll do a review.
There you go.
Aaron would do it. He doesn't need a review. That's the last event. He needs a pre-review.
Yeah.
Pre-review. Or a preview, as we call it. Yeah.
Pre-review.
Oh, I'll tell you what. You know, I had a speech impediment when I was a kid. I had to take lessons. I did.
Is that true or not?
It is true.
Do you know what I thought about when my dad's jokes and that sound like a dad joke?
No. I got a dad joke. What's orange and sounds like a parrot? A carrot.
Wow.
That is the best one ever. Oh, I love that one. Hey, I want to just quickly talk about, we were talking about Kieran Cunningham last week, and Leon was a bit worried for his mate that his head might be the first coach's head to go on the chopping block. But they had a great win across the pond across the river, so to speak, in the south of France against Catalan's Dragon. We know, very difficult place to play. But they come up trumps, and it was a fantastic game. If you were watching the rugby union and you were flicking between the two, there was no comparison.
Is this the Wales-France rugby union? Oh, the one that had like 20 minutes of stoppage time. Yeah.
20 minutes just for the last scrum.
But St Helens, yeah. Kieran's been really under pressure. And they've done it without Matty Smith. And they get Matty Smith back this week. And
is he back this week?
Yeah, he's in the squad. I think he's one of the most underrated players in Super League.
Did you see Scully, though, having a dig at John Wilkins?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? So he's gone from Mark Snead.
Now he's
and then he got a couple of tries against us and did all right. So he's jumped on, who was it?
John,
so he jumped on Wilkin this time, right?
Wow. And they won.
Yeah.
Gary Schofield, just if you're listening out there, please have a go at the whole Huddersfield Giants team. Please.
In the grand final.
Every week, just hammer us.
Huddersfield, St Helens will fly with Matty Smith back in the team. He's won grand final. He's guided him to grand finals, challenge cups. He's one of the most underrated halfbacks in the conference.
Were you listening to the show last week? No. Pretty much that is exactly what I said.
Don't grab his glory.
I literally went.
But he did say
just the exact same statement. I said he's very underrated, but he knows how to manage games. Yeah, he does. He's not the most exciting with the ball and making breaks and things like that nature. But he can guide a side and kicking games.
Now, on that note, and I think this is an important point, that we're talking about with Scully having a dig at John Wilkins because he's not fast, he can't take the line on, he doesn't ball play, he doesn't direct people around the park, he hasn't got a great kicking game. But what John can do, and this is the count, and he's right, John can't do any of those things, but what he can do with his experience, he can game manage. Kevin Sinfield had a great kicking game, but he wasn't fast, he didn't have a decisive sidestep, et cetera, et cetera, but he managed the games. Now, Matty Smith is an out-and-out halfback. He can turn it on when he needs to. He's got, he's got a little bit of pace. He knows where to be at the right time. Great kicking game, but game management is an important part. So Scully is right to a certain extent, but at the same time as that, Kieran's under pressure. He needs someone that can lead him around the park. John is your go-to man. I can fully understand why he's back, back John in that position.
And he's got his payoff, hasn't he, now? Because he got a massive win. Suddenly they've got Warrington at home on Friday, which is another big game. Two coaches who people have said were under pressure. Mm-hmm. But if St Helens win, I mean, it's still only March. If you string two or three wins together, suddenly you go from third bottom to fifth or sixth in the blink of an eye, don't you? It's so early in the season to be
And as you're saying, everyone's beating each other at the moment. It's a really tight competition. So, I mean, this middle part now is actually could decide who, the haves and the have-nots come the back end of the season.
The run between now and probably Magic Weekend, this eight weeks, is probably where you find out where everyone really belongs.
This is where the juice is coming, Robbo.
I think so.
How's your boy sitting up for it? Is there juice here?
I'm totally with you. I think this period now.
No, I mean Huddersfield Giants.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Do you guys know that? Are you focusing on this next period?
Oh mate, we're focused on every game at the moment. I've got a big whip every morning, just whipping the lads. Come on, boys! I'm riding a horse. Come on, we can do this. But I do think this period now is them early rounds. You're finding a little bit of fluidity in your attack. You're working out what other teams are doing, but now this little period now is really important to your final standing.
All right, I just wanted to mention this. So some of this has been shared in the rags this week, and it was just about the new sponsorship Betfred of Super League sponsors, the main partners. They're saying they're over moon with the partnership, 200% increase in betting in the shops, 300% online. And their social media has an increase of 500%. What I want to point out here is the power of rugby league. Yeah. I think it's really untapped potential. viewing figures are still really high. I know we look at them, we think the viewing figures for Thursday evenings, and I think they were maxing out around about the 70 to 100,000 viewers. But on a Thursday night for Sky viewership, it's really low.
It's really,
so very low before Rugby League came along, which is why they identified Thursday night to put Rugby League on, because the viewing figures are very good for a Thursday night, that is. For a Thursday night. So that gives me quite a bit of confidence. Obviously, I work in the sponsorship world now, so that gives me a lot of confidence. And I've been looking at some metrics in and around game day, and actually the traffic that the digital footprint of rugby league traffic is absolutely phenomenal. And looking at some more statistics, I think there's 16 million people that have an interest in rugby league in this country. 16 million. Those are RepuCom figures. 16 million.
What's that gauged on? How do you judge that someone has an interest? They just admit it. It's like a survey.
It's a survey, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So they say, are you interested in this sport? Right. Are you interested in that sport? So they do sport-wide measurements. So they're looking at a number of the top sports. Rugby league is one of the top 10 sports in the country. Yeah. So it gives you great confidence. Okay, so those sort of viewing figures may be reflected in the low attendances during the Super 8s, but actually people are still consuming the sport. They might be doing it away. They might be doing it via social media. They might be consuming it via television, but the interest is definitely there and growing. We get more of these talented athletes back into the sport, then, you know, it starts to grow even further and we start to enhance it. All of us that are doing our jobs right here, what we're doing now, talking the sport up, we can help with it all. I just thought I'd share those figures. Those figures, they're of interest to me. Let's have a look at some of the upcoming games. Wakefield versus Lee Centurions. Wakey at home. What do you think of that one? Both of them sort of had come into their own. Wakey got a bit of a pacing against Leeds Rhinos on the weekend, but what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Wakefield generally bounced back quite well from setbacks. They were poor against Leeds last week. Lee, everyone's, you know, rightly going on about Lee. They've done really well, but they've not won away from home yet.
That's right.
So that'll be interesting to see how they go, because they'll probably be favourites tomorrow.
At the Lee Sports Village, bit of a fortress, but away from home.
Lee.
You're back in Lee?
Yeah, I still think Lee.
Got the confidence behind them. Mm. Friday night, Robbo, you guys are at home to Leeds. I'm going to come to Aaron on this one because it's a bit unfair for you.
Two good teams, two really good teams. Huddersfield got a good point at Wigan, as we all know. I think the halves is a really good battle, because there's two teams there who were playing half-back pairings that they probably wouldn't have thought they were going into the season with. Now Bruffy and Lee Gaskell are in there for Huddersfield, and Leeds have got Joe Moon in there as well. So that battle of Gaskell and Moon in the halfbacks for me might be where it's swung.
Joel Moon's played half standoff for the Warriors before, New Zealand Warriors. That was right.
And Gaskell's
back
played halfback a lot as well. Yeah.
Okay, just quickly then, the other game in the Super League, Hull FC versus Wigan. Both of yous.
Where's that?
Hull.
That's at Hull.
Hull.
Yeah, Hull.
So you're both backing Hull.
Wigan under strength, yeah.
Yeah, I think the Hull have hit some real form going into this. Obviously, the Bulls up at home against Dewsbury. That's it for tonight. Aaron, thank you for being stepping in for Leon. Robbo, as always, it's always a pleasure. Ladies and gents at home, we'll be uploading this show if you want to listen to it, if you only caught the back end. So thanks for being with us. This was the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show.
This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Wednesday evening from 6.